Ricochet effect, ricochet effect. It's the ricochet effect, ricochet effect.
Dr. Abini El-Amin, and I'd like to welcome you to another amazing edition of The Ricochet Effect. I am here with the Empower team at UK Prevent in the College of Education at the University of Kentucky. And Empower is an amazing initiative. The goal of Empower is to reduce the use of menthol and other flavored tobacco products among communities of color in Lexington and Louisville and elevate community voices. Through community collaborations, we host workshops, develop and attend community events, and create media materials and resources related to menthol and other flavored tobacco products. The work that we do is led and co-created by the experts, the community themselves. In fact, we call these folks our champions. These community experts include a team of community health champions from Lexington and Louisville. Drug-Free Lex, a community coalition located in Lexington, a Louisville community coalition, and an advisory committee composed of representatives across the state and community, and of course, Project Ricochet. I'm here with, like I said, an amazing group of community health advocates, and at this time, I'd like for you to just go around and introduce yourself. And so, who do I have to my right?
Hi, I'm Gabrielle Cochran. I'm one of the program coordinators for Empower.
I'm Donna Murphy, and I am the youth champion coach.
I'm Laurel Shepherd, and I am the graduate research assistant.
I'm Antoinette Rodriguez, and I'm the outreach coordinator.
Hi, I'm Cassidy Moss, and I'm one of the community health educators with Empower.
And I, too, work on the Empower team as our public health innovation manager and also one of the program coordinators along with my colleague, Gabrielle. And to that effect, Gabrielle, I mean, you have been in public health for a number of years. I mean, you've got your master's in public health from the University of Kentucky. So can you share a little bit about your background and what led you to your current role within this project?
Yes, so I actually worked with our program director, Dr. Melinda Ickes, on her initiative, hashtag IconInTheTrend. And it's a statewide near-peer, you know, youth prevention and education program for tobacco. I'd worked with her for a couple of years on that as I was getting my undergraduate and master's degree in public health at the University of Kentucky. And she actually came to me with this opportunity for the grant that we're working on and knew that this was an area of interest for me. And so through that, we kind of, you know, applied and got the ball rolling and really been able to just expand and capture all these amazing people along for the journey with us.
Absolutely. And each and every one of us, we have a different skill set that we bring to the Empower initiative. And so Coach Donna Murphy, if you guys don't know Coach Donna Murphy, she's somewhat of a celebrity here in Kentucky, but she's joined us as first a youth champion, and now she is a program coordinator, a peer health educator, on behalf of the youth champion. So tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got here to us in the domain of public health.
Well, I'm a retired educator, and my background's in higher education, counseling, student development, and college athletics. And just mentoring youth in the community, whether they were college age, high school age, middle school age, has always been something close to my heart. And I did a lot of my mentoring through athletics, a lot of sports, particularly women's basketball, and I always felt like that was my way to give back. And after I retired, and it's only been several years, I found it hard to not do nothing. I had to be involved. I had to find my niche. I really wasn't sure what that was. I was in prayer about it quite a bit. And then I had an opportunity to become a part of Empower, where I would get the chance to work with young people again in high school. and be able to help them in their lives and advocate for something that was very important to them in terms of their health and the health of their community. And so that's what I do, and I am very pleased to be a part of Empower because it has really educated me about issues that I wasn't always totally aware of.
Yeah, and you are doing a fantastic job with our youth champions, keeping them engaged and also mentoring them, which is a big part of what we do in public health and community engagement. And Laurel, so how did you come to work with Empower? I guess I should back up and say that Laurel's position here within the Empower initiative is as a graduate assistant. And it's very, very important to each and every one of the programs that we initiate here at the University of Kentucky to make sure that we have students as part of these initiatives, so then we are also capturing community voice. So talk to us. How did you get here in the public health domain and to Empower?
Yeah, of course. So I'm actually at the University of Kentucky in my second year in my master's in counseling psychology. So I'm a little new to the public health field, but I was really drawn to the Empower program because I've been a research assistant before, but Empower really emphasizes not just the research side, but I get to actually be involved in the community outreach and getting to go and do the work there. And it was really important to me when looking for assistantships. And so I think just getting that experience of, you know, I'm having a balance of I'm doing research, but I'm also getting to be involved in the community. And in the community, we've seen a lot of mental health concerns, and there is this really big correlation between tobacco, menthol use, and mental health. So I've hopefully gotten to give some of my expertise from a different program.
Yeah, and recently you joined me in Washington, D.C. at the Society of Public Health Educators, where we did some policy advocacy with our nation's finest at the U.S. Capitol. So that was certainly a joy to present in front of that group. We got a lot of raving reviews as a result of our presentation, talking about our champions, in particular our youth champions, and how to get them involved and engaged in advocacy. And so, Antoinette Rodriguez.
Hey, mic check.
As a peer health educator, you perform outreach in the community. And so, can you share a little bit about your engagement in Empower, how you got here, and the work that you are currently doing?
Well, I was seeked out through a cool person, Dr. Elamine. She just saw all these gifted talents that I could bring to the table. She saw my bubbly personality, and she just tried to like tell me to come in and use that talent for the community. So I do a lot of outreach programs and outreach table settings in the community and engage with young people, old people, and, you know, I just do that, and I'm appreciative to it because Dr. Elamine works with Project Ricochet and Empower, and I'm so pleased, and it's a privilege to do those things out there in the community.
I know some of the more mature people that are our audience, they're probably thinking, who are you calling old?
Exactly.
The more mature
crowd.
Definitely. Within the community.
Yeah, yes. We never age. I forgot about
that's
that.
Right. Absolutely not. And Cassidy, you come to us and you perform social media as well as outreach for Empower. And so talk to us a little bit about how you got here and what Empower has done for you on your public health journey.
Yeah, of course. So similar to Gabrielle, I also have my bachelor's in public health from the University of Kentucky. And during my undergraduate time, I had the opportunity to be a peer health educator with the University Health Services. And I also was in charge of that social media programming as well. So having that experience really showed me what I am passionate for, and that is health education and working within the community directly with the people. So from that, I found this job position through a UK job listing board. And I'm so glad that I did, because this has really been a great opportunity. And I've loved being able to have those transferable skills from my undergraduate to continue on while I'm working on my master's as well at UK. And I feel like Empower has really given me the chance to have that hands-on experience while I'm still in school, which has been a great opportunity.
And remind us again of the hashtags.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, we have the hashtag Empower. You can find us on Facebook and on Instagram at Empower_KY.
Excellent. And Cassie, you are doing a fantastic job of keeping the community engaged from a virtual aspect. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what? We're going to do a little bit of a round robin here, all right? And so there are pros and there are cons of doing this work, or I call them pros. And for me, areas of I would like to improve. But let's talk about the exciting aspects of Empower and the work that we do here in public health. So Gabrielle, what is the most exciting or rewarding part of the work that you do, both in public health and in Empower?
Well, I think with any program, and I feel like we see this a lot with Empower, is just being able to go into the community and have that conversation with someone. You almost see like that light bulb moment of, oh, like that's why you're doing this work. And it's just so helpful to be able to be like, this is why I'm doing that work too. But you get to see kind of that effect, and you know that that person leaves with that knowledge or with that information to go and hopefully, you know, make that healthy choice for themselves. And you see that ripple kind of throughout that community. That one touch point turns into a ton of other touch points, and it just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I would definitely coincide and say that that's been a similar, I've had similar experiences to that as well. And so, Coach Murphy, what is the most exciting or rewarding aspect of working within Empower?
I think it's been, well for me, it's really been an opportunity to step out into another area of information and learn things that I didn't know. You know, it goes to prove no matter how old you are, you always have an opportunity to learn. And that's especially if you want to stay connected with this ever-changing society. But it's been a privilege to learn information, to be around young people who are in their graduate programs and people that are in the community health field that really love what they do. It's all about education, and that was a part of my journey, education, and this is more targeted toward the health area. So I'm learning more about the effects that prevention and smoking cessation have had on my life and other people's lives, and it's a journey. I've been learning as I go, and I think that has been important too. You don't have to know a whole lot. You just have to be inquisitive and be around people that know where you can ask questions and find out more information. And I think that has been a positive thing for me, because I shared earlier I was retired and just trying to find out where I could fit. And little known to me, it was going to be in a community health kind of environment. And I said that's a challenge for me, because that was not my background previously. So, but it has caused me to up my game, so to speak, and learn some new things, and that's good.
That's right. And as far as Empower is concerned, that's one of the beauties of it, really, is that we get a chance to work with so many different communities. Mm-hmm. And so for you, Laurel, I mean, talk to us. Like, how has Empower empowered your life?
Yeah, it's been really great, because coming from the counseling background, I agree with Coach Murphy. I got a lot of new knowledge in the public health field and tobacco and menthol prevention. And so just getting to learn all that has been really great, but also getting to go from being in the community and getting to hear community voice and then get to go to present at conferences and share the community voice and share what we're doing and seeing has been just so rewarding, because I get to kind of learn along with the community and then go and tell everyone all the amazing work that we're doing at a really high level. It has been just super rewarding.
Wonderful. And then for Antoinette, so I kind of met you in the faith-based environment, and as a mother and a community champion, doing outreach for other public health initiatives or social outreach efforts. It's been a real joy. And so for you, what's been the impact of Empower for you and maybe even your family or even your church family?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Just that alone, just church and family, those two really are impactful. I will have to say I will break it down into three E's. I would take it to, like, I can engage more, I can empower more, and educate more. So I just feel impactful when I'm able to do all three in those ways. And I just, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to do that. And as a mom, it's so cool because then I can empower in a different way. And just having that knowledge of the education behind the tobacco world, I can educate the kids more better into letting them know like how harmful it is and the effects of it and stuff like that. So I'm glad, you know, and I do have a daughter who's a champion, and we just engage and talk all the time about it. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah, you know, I do too, because that's that ripple effect that Gabriella is talking about is that really sharing that information that you are gathering here and then sharing it with your family, and then hopefully they're going to share that with their friends, their cousins, and then other people in the community will take that same energy and continue to spread awareness about tobacco prevention and cessation.
Yes.
And Cassidy, how has Empower empowered your life?
Yeah, Empower has really been great. It has really transformed sort of my outlook. And because of this, I feel like I am closer to my own community. Getting out in the community and talking to people and hearing the voices has deepened that connection that I have with Lexington. And I feel like I've been able to transfer all of these skills into my own personal life as well. Like I've recommended support resources and quitting resources to peers and friends in different environments that maybe Empower isn't reaching. So it's something that, you know, you can bring the skills everywhere you go and bring that education with you as well.
And so what I'd like to do now is have a bit of a discussion and talk about the challenges or things that you might want to improve upon. I know for me, my biggest challenge with Empower is just that I cannot reach enough people in the shortest amount of time. Yes. So that I can eliminate or at least be a change master of eliminating the social drivers of health in this aspect. And one of the things that we know is that if you smoke, that it could create all kinds of other health concerns and diseases in your body. Mm-hmm. And so by just making the decision not to smoke, you are really providing additional years to the life. So, Gabrielle, so if you don't mind, let's get started with you. So, as the grants administrator, because this is a CDC-funded grant.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, congratulations to UK Prevent, and congratulations to you in terms of the inspiration and the work that you provide to this effort. And so it can't be easy all the time. So no. What are some of the challenges that you face in this journey of public health and with Empower? And then how do you overcome them?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of barriers we're up against working in the tobacco control field. To start, it's a billion-dollar industry that is putting out all of these, you know, targeted messages and just these promotional activities that are going on in the community. And it's a lot to work against when we're on these grants, which are amazing, but it's not $1 billion that is being used to counter this marketing. And so I think being able to work against that can be challenging at times when there's already been so much misinformation spread about tobacco products and about how they can affect people. I think stigma too can be something that's a really big obstacle in trying to reach out for help or trying to get resources, especially as Laurel mentioned, with mental health playing such a big role in tobacco use.
Mm-hmm. And so how have you been able to overcome some of the challenges, whether it's mentally or just in the work? Like, how about it?
I think it's really just connecting to those kind of touch points I was talking about earlier, where it's like you know that you can't change everyone, even though you want to. You can't make everything better for everyone, but you focus on those moments when you had that connection with someone and you were able to see that change that you made, or going to those conferences and being able to share community voice, the experiences that they have had. So I think that's, You got to hold on to those moments.
That's right.
And carry it with you.
And let them light the way. Mm-hmm. And so go ahead, jump in here. So what are some of the challenges that you've had in your public health journey, and then how have you overcome them?
I don't mind to start us off. I feel like sometimes when you're working on the ground, it can feel almost like it's an uphill battle. Sometimes we only see one or two people that are actively engaging with what we are trying to promote. And sometimes that can get you down. But I think what's important to hold on to is our successes, and that we celebrate our successes, because every day that we are working towards this goal of tobacco prevention and cessation, we are making wins. So don't forget to celebrate the small things. Keep going. And I think that's how we keep this up, this effort.
No, absolutely. I think that we start from a great place in the first place, because we're part of the UK Prevent Initiative. And so there's already so much groundswell there and so much work that has already been done under the leadership of Dr. Melinda Ickes. And so it's, again, we're not starting from scratch. And I do tend to lean on my colleagues within these other initiatives. And so we've got Empower, we've got I Champion Health, we've got the Farm Mental Health Initiative, we've got Bingo Size, and I feel like that I'm leaving something.
I can end the trend, of course.
I can end the trend. How can I forget I Can End the Trend, which kind of really started it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've got all these fantastic initiatives, and so, you know, what we are doing is looking at their trends and looking for the best, and then, you know, really trying to riff off those and then to elevate our work. And so, yeah, I mean, it's all great stuff. And so, yeah, talk mm-hmm. to us about your challenges and how you overcome them.
Oh, man. Am I next? I'll talk. Oh, man.
Just jump right
in. It's always a challenge being out there. But like Cassidy was saying, you got to just take the bad and overweigh it with the good, you know, and just take the win and just go out there and just ride it like it's nothing. So, let me think. So some challenges I faced, well, it was in the summertime when I first started, so it was kind of nice, and then really hot, and then, you know, so a lot of people don't really want to stop and just listen for a minute, but it's how you get people engaged. So I think, like, you know, even when it's hot or cold, it's just always be creative. So that's how I overcome the challenges. I just be creative with it. So, yeah.
And how are we doing that here at Empower?
Oh, there's a multitude of different things, right, guys?
How are we engaging the community in terms of getting
them to stop? We do a lot of different activities. We got crossword puzzles. We got the posters.
Yeah, little whiteboard posters. You can fill in the blank with a little "I am empowered by" saying.
Those are my favorite. I love seeing the kids like write how they're empowered and why they do what they do or why they don't do what they do. So, yeah, it's always fun to see that. I love that one the most.
What are some other ways that we are engaging the community?
We have different
listen.
We have different community surveys where we get to kind of just talk with the community. One of the questions we asked was, what is the biggest, I think it was, public health concern in your neighborhood mm-hmm. or in your community, where they could talk about what they were seeing with mental health or substance use disorders or housing issues, so we could really establish trust there too and just kind of get this anonymous feedback from them. For us then to go and tailor, you know, we saw mental health was a really big concern, and we said, let's tailor some of our outreach materials, and we made more mental health flyers so people could be more educated on mental health and resources for that, and kind mm-hmm. of adapting as we just got that community feedback.
And with, like, I Can End the Trend and Empower, I know that they do a lot of art advocacy stuff, so we do that too. We do art. We can paint.
We do have an art challenge for I Can End the Trend,
yeah,
too, that we're working
up.
On with. So any Kentucky students can enter their artwork.
And there is a cash prize. Let me repeat. A cash prize.
Well, wonderful. And Coach, so working with young people is fantastical and wonderful. However, What are some of the challenges as a peer health educator that you encounter by working with young people?
I think one of the biggest challenges is realizing that these young people have lives and they have to learn how to balance their lives too. And there's a lot of things that they don't have complete control of. And one of them could be transportation. One of them could be the fact that they have to work, you know. And the students that we have are all great, great young people, but they have other responsibilities. And not just with young people, it's hard to get people to volunteer and to commit their time, energies, and effort to do anything. So that tends to be a huge challenge. But when you do have people who do take the time because they're committed, they're passionate about something that they've taken on, whether it's one or two people, it makes a difference. It makes you feel like what you're standing for really matters because they're there with you too. But I think the biggest challenge is being able to draw people together and commit to a certain time frame. Intentions may be good, but not all people are able to really connect and get together as we would like to see that happen. But thank God for Zoom.
We know how to pull the community together. And so, you know, I did want to take a moment to just kind of talk about the numbers, because Empower is making an impact in our community. So we've been on the ground for about 20 months now. And so in our very first year, that was our foundational period. And then we just hit the ground running in June and July timeframe. And so just if you're hearing this podcast and you're interested in joining our work as a champion, we will have another recruitment period coming up in May, June timeframe. So do be on the lookout on our Facebook or Instagram page. And again, that handle is
@empower_KY.
So to date, and I'm going to just sprinkle these throughout the podcast, but we partner with UK Prevent. We partner with Drug Free Lex, Roots 101 in Louisville, Roots 101 African American Museum, that is. And of course, Project Ricochet. We can't leave Project Ricochet out. And then also Alliance for a Healthier Generation. We have reached hundreds of individuals, and we've done that through 35 plus events. And we also have 17 community health champions that work with us, six of whom are youth, and the other 11 who are adults in both Lexington and Louisville. We have engaged over 15 plus organizations, and these are organizations that we pretty much work with on a weekly basis in order to drive this initiative and to reduce the social drivers of health. We also have our advocacy projects that we execute, and we've had over 2,800 plus social media impressions. Additionally, we've had over 500 exhibition views with our partnership and collaboration with Roots 101 and Project Ricochet with the Ether African American Barbershop and Beauty Salon Public Health Initiative in Louisville, Kentucky, that is actually hosted at Roots 101 African American Museum. So we are nothing to sneeze at when it comes to a public health initiative. And so I do want to bring that into focus. You know, so many times what happens is that you're doing the work and you're churning and churning and you're going and you're going and you forget that you yourself are really making a change and you're like putting a divot into the community. And of course, we don't want to just create a divot. We want to come in with a bang and go out with a boom, right? So in that vein, how does your work contribute to addressing inequities in health education or in public health in general?
Absolutely. So I think what we really focus on is being intentional with who we are reaching in our work, who we're bringing to the table in our work. And so we have a really great advisory committee and a subcommittee and our champions. And so our first kind of piece of the puzzle is making sure that voices are being heard across the community. And so with our work focusing on Black and African American communities in Lexington and Louisville, that's who's seated at the table. There's, you know, the perspective that we bring from research, but we don't know the full story. We can't, you know, prescribe anything to the community. It's the community that's going to co-lead that change. And so really in addressing it by being very intentional and trying to have our work guided in a meaningful way to those communities based on what they're saying that they need, not just doing some research. Even though that can help guide some of our work, it's not the end all be all.
No, not at all. You know, community voice is so vitally important because every individual is an individual. Mm-hmm. And we're different and we experience the world differently and we have different concerns, different needs, and maybe even different ailments. And so I think that here at Empower, we're very sensitive. And also I should add that while we do focus on the African American and Black community here in Lexington and Louisville, we focus, really, our work is to empower the masses. Everyone mm-hmm. should be involved in this initiative, and everyone is welcome. And it's not like with our champions group or even with our staff or advisory boards or our partners that it's just made up of African American or the Black community. It is made up of everyone. And that is what is really, for me, so empowering about mm-hmm. this initiative,
yes.
is that everybody is at the table really getting their hands and their feet into this muck and trying to figure it out. And so it's just a really beautiful place to be, and we're gonna continue to churn forward. And so partnerships play a vitally important part in the work that we do. And so like, for instance, Antoinette, the work that you do in the community, how are you elevating the initiative by utilizing partners in order to move outreach forward?
Yes, that can be challenging sometimes, but it's also so fun. I've collaborated with churches. I've done outreaches at schools, which is very impactful. They have a share center like for the community out there. So we got a lot of different places that we collaborate with. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, really interesting because across UK Prevent, our other initiatives are also, they also have like very strong partnerships. And so we're able to lean on them as well. So one mm-hmm. of which that comes to mind is OMAC, Operation Making a Change, with Mr. Gio Gibson. I mean, he's just fantastic. And so anytime that we call up on him, mm-hmm. then he is always ready to serve, and vice versa. And so, you know, partnerships really do help to elevate the work so that we can reach more of our Kentuckian and some more people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, having said that, so I can actually ask that to each person, I won't, but I mean, it's like when you think of social media, Cassidy, and how you could even elevate social media through partnering, how is that possible?
Yeah, that's definitely something that we've been considering moving forward with our social media. Just of starting in September of last year, we are still on the ground level of making the foundation of a good social media, and partnerships is definitely something that we plan to implement moving forward. Using collaborations with other organizations can really spread our message to a wider group of population, people that might not have found us through other means, and we can really use one another to amplify our messages. I know that we have already had a collaborative post with Icon in the Trend. That's just one example. And I know going back to the beginning of our social media, Icon in the Trend was definitely a good starting off point by using their following to get people over to our account. And we plan to continue adding on to those partnerships.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Project Ricochet, when we started this initiative 3 years ago, there was just no way that we were going to start from scratch. I reached out to the United Way and I began to build up our partnership list even then. And that was about 60 community partners in three counties. That was Fayette County, Scott County, and Bourbon County. To this date, on a monthly basis, we are actually working with over 250 partners. Wow. And it all started because we didn't try to scratch the soil and try to create something. No, we used what was already here. And here in Fayette County, we are touted as being one of the most amazing community engaged communities on the planet. And so why would we not utilize what we already have? So, you know, I really want to drill down into advice. You know, we're having a lot of great success because we're using the tools. We've got an expert staff. We've got our champions. We've got a lot of great things at play. But what advice would you give to individuals or organizations looking to make a meaningful impact in their communities?
I think that you have to find a cause or an issue, something that you want to stand for. Something that you can support 100%. It could be something that you just want to see changed, and you need to research that and gather as much information as you can, make connections. With the technology we have now, it's very difficult for you not to be able to reach out and find the resources and services that you need. But, you know, once you make that connection, then you have to decide, am I going to, you know, I've got all this information now. Am I going to just sit back and spectate, or am I going to jump in the ball game and participate? And I think once you choose to participate, you need to be ready to share your talents, your abilities, your input. You don't have to have any fears about coming in and everybody have expectations of you taking the leadership role, because you come in and you typically join a team of people that are professional, people that have different skills, abilities, and experiences, and you come in with what you have. And you know, everybody has an opportunity to utilize what they bring to the table. And once you get into that mold and you feel comfortable with it, especially knowing that you have an opportunity to impact lives with Empower, I mean, it's a health issue, you know. And if we don't have our health, we don't have life. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's real important that you find what it is that you are 100% committed to and jump in and get involved. It only takes that one person to make a difference. And I think so many times we sit back and complain about things and talk about things instead of just get in there and mix it up and do something about it. You know, otherwise, I don't think you have a right to talk about it, complain personally. But anyhow, you know, it's important to become a part of something that's bigger than yourself, something that's going to be meaningful. I always feel like if you're not involved in something that matters, then maybe you don't matter. You know, because to make yourself matter, you have to do things that really mean something, that matter. Mm-hmm. And whenever we give to other people and we're in that service mindset, it's a win-win situation. And I encourage everybody to get involved in something that means something to them.
And see, so this is, you see, why we call her the coach. And so that is a great spinoff for how do you stay motivated in this work? You know, because, you know, we talked about the challenges and the obstacles. And, you know, sometimes when we're out there doing the outreach and it's cold, I received a call maybe a couple weeks ago where one of the folks on the team, they said, you know, it's going to be negative 2 degrees. I don't think we need to do this kind of outreach today. So can we pivot, you know? And so there are real challenges, and some of those challenges truly are environmental, or some of those challenges are that we're tired because we are human. And, you know, so we have to check in with ourselves and make sure that our emotional and physical health is in check so then we can serve others. And so then, but how do you stay motivated through all that, whether it's environmentally or psychologically or physiologically?
There's so many different things you can take away from that, like networking, your team, just being involved like in different ways. So like far as networking, taking the opportunity to just, okay, if I can't get it through this point of view, I know I can get it from that point of view. So just like, just turn the corner if you have to. Don't be scared. Just go around the corner and grab it. My favorite thing that I like to keep in the forefront of my head is like that story from the Bible where they be like, this big, huge giant and then small little old David. And everybody was just like, I know he is not about to go up against that guy. But you know what? There's no giant that's big. There's no thing that's bigger than the challenges that we face, because there's always a way to overcome that challenge. You can just look at things in a different perspective. Yeah. And I think like when you're empowered, like with me, sometimes I feel alone, but then I call my girls and I'll be like, y'all, where y'all at? You know, can y'all come with me? And they always come or, you know, encourage me, girl, you got this. And that empowers me to make sure that I take the time to make sure that I do what I can do to make a change for somebody else. And I just think with the empower itself, like having that those resources to give to somebody else and educate them, don't keep it in the four walls. It ain't gonna get nowhere. So get out there. That's what I tell myself. Get out there, girl. You can do it.
Yes. And we are so appreciative in so many ways. What about for some of you other ladies here with us today?
I think going off of what Antoinette said, just relying on the team, we do have like a team here. And also it's interdisciplinary, so so many different resources and everything. Like what Antoinette said, I feel like the outreach events are so much more impactful when there's at least two of us there, if not more. And the community, I think, sees that us working together. We've gotten comments of like, oh, we love your team. You guys are so like energetic.
Really,
yeah.
They really do love us. Like they hug. They give us candy.
So having that they just like support of the team, whether it's at community outreach events or if it's like, hey, I'm looking into this thing. Do you have any resources on it? Like you were saying, there's already so much information we have within UK Prevent and we can use those and rely on them. It's just how I keep myself invested in the work and really like going.
Well, to that end, you know, so a lot of people, they say, you know what, I don't want to have anything to do with the government. I'm scared of them. Yeah. I am one that I am not
that
scared
is so funny.
Of the government. Let me tell you, anytime that we call the state of Kentucky or the county or the city, they're like, okay, what can we do? In fact, Gabrielle, we have so many meetings with the government because we reached out and they've reached back. Uh-huh. They're like, you're providing this service. We want to also lean into what you're doing. And so we also want to say to the state of Kentucky and the Department of Public Health, as well as our other governmental partners, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, so how do you stay motivated, Miss Energizer Bunny?
Yes, I definitely agree. Lean on your support. If you don't have a support system, then you definitely need to go find one. Put yourself out there. Go to some community spaces and find people that you can really trust, because that does make a difference whenever you're feeling down. Other than that, like I said earlier, focus on the wins. Keep those in mind, because they might seem small and insignificant by a day-to-day basis, but they add up. They add up really quick. Mm-hmm. And when you look back at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the year, you can see how much you have really touched within your community. And that's inspiring.
Yes, and that's the part that's motivating to me, the community.
Yeah, I think you can, some of it's instant gratification, because you can kind of see directly, you talk to a person in the community and you saw that their life was changed that day. That's not always how it's going to go, but there's days like that that really make it worth continuing.
Yes, you remember that time we was at the Share Center?
Yeah.
I mean, that they people will just, if they just had that moment to just speak with us, and we really made a change in that guy's life. Like he told us his whole life story in the matter of minutes, and we was there to listen. So just us being there too, like that was motivating for us to know that we're gonna always be here, and they see our familiar faces. That was a good motivational moment.
And if you're looking for a support source, maybe it can be us.
Yeah. Come to our outreach events. Yeah. We'll be your support system.
Well, speaking of which, we've got arts advocacy events. We've got the Black Family Conference. We've got our partnership events. We have so many events in terms of how we're linking up and partnering and collaborating with the community. So do take a look at our social media, and that hashtag is
that empower underscore KY.
Yeah, so that's how you get in contact with us and check out our event calendar. Oh, don't make any mistakes about it, Gabrielle. I'm coming back around for you. And that is, you are so wonderful. You keep us grounded here with Empower. So how do you stay inspired and motivated in this work on this public health journey?
Well, first of all, thank you. But I think it really is just the team and the community. Is you start talking about this issue that you're seeing in the community, that there's this need, and you bring it to the community and they're so responsive to it, and all these partnerships start developing and the team members come on and you just feed off of each other's energy. So I think it's always nice to have a job where you come in each day and you're excited to get to work. And I'm so grateful for all the team members that we have here who make it that way. The community members and the partnerships that we have that just make this work exciting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, and thank you for being you. So, Coach, go ahead and bring us on home, because I know you've got motivational, inspirational.
I've worked in different work environments, and when I first had an opportunity to get together with everybody, I just felt the vibe. Mm-hmm. Just good people, good hearts, everybody on the same page, working together to make a difference, and that's hard to find. It's very hard to find. And when you have times when you're not feeling like you're contributing or doing enough, or you get tired or whatever the case may be, it's always good to have someone in your circle that you can trust that will tell you the truth. Mm. Because what you may be experiencing may actually be your fault. And you may need great somebody to correct you. You may not like what you hear, but you know they love you, And so that's something that I have in my life. I think everybody should, And I think, for me, it's always been about prayer and perseverance. You set your mind to something. When I commit to something, I'm wholehearted, mm-hmm. whether it's part-time, full-time, overtime, But you got to learn to draw your boundaries and keep yourself safe. And just do what you do and feel good about it.
Well, wonderful. Well, we've come to the end of another amazing Ricochet Effect podcast. I'd like to leave you with a bit of a poem that I wrote.
Ooh, snap, snap.
Snap, snappy, snappy. The life of poetry. You are poetry when you walk, speak, think, be. What comes into your sphere is what is. You are the life of poetry. You are the joy of being, the joy of loving, and the joy of knowing love. You are in control of peace, love, and happiness. All transcend your existence. You are the life of poetry. You are the joy of being, the joy of loving, and the joy of knowing love. I am Dr. Abini Elamine, one of your podcast hosts. Terry Dunford, he'll be joining us here shortly for another amazing edition of The Ricochet Effect. Thank you for listening in. It's The Ricochet Effect, Ricochet Effect.